Thank you, Jake, for those songs. Well, I want to say a few things before we start. And maybe you've noticed, maybe you haven't noticed, but the sound system seems to me much better, doesn't it? It's because of that little thing right there. It's called a microphone. Ryan has been working to make the sound better and things, and he... I don't know, is this a new one, Ryan? Some parts of it are new. But we used to have one like this for the table, and he's moved it up here. We've taken everything out of here, and we're rearranging this up here. So this is a much better microphone than what we've had in the past. So I want to thank Ryan for all the work he's doing there. I'm really excited about the meeting coming up next week. This man, Kyle Butt, that's coming is very well versed in his topic, and that is apologetics, and he's very sought after. We've been on his waiting list for 3 years. We signed up for this 3 years ago, and so he's very sought after, and I'm sure he doesn't spend every Sunday traveling because he has a family, but he's very sought after and knows well his subject matter. You'll have to bear with me today. I feel great. I really feel great, other than I have this little cough, and I cannot get rid of it. I've tried everything. I was up in the middle of the night with honey and lemon and all that. It just won't go away. So I try to remain relaxed and not get my throat all tightened up and stuff so I don't start coughing. But one of the hardest things for me to do when I worship, when I have this, is not to sing. I love singing in worship, and I just find it very hard to sit here and not sing. So I try to sing a little bit, mouth the words on some of it. But anyway, if I don't shake your hand today, don't be offended. I mean, if you're offended, I'll give you a big hug and breathe all over if you want. I don't think I'm contagious, but... it's just annoying, and I know some of you have that as well, have that in the past. Before we begin this morning, I want to talk about what I always talk about, and that's the Word of God. Hold up your Bibles if you have the Word of God. Do you realize that this book in your hand is what renews us? Put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. This right here is transforming. It can take you from what you were and create a new person in you in the image of Christ Jesus. And isn't that what we want to do? Rod mentioned this morning, Don did in the class, the power of the Word. Why it is so important. It transforms us. It completely changes us. When I was in studying in preaching school, the word nature, form, is the word we translate it, form or nature. And what that is, it completely changes you into something different. And that's what the Word of God does. As we take it into our lives, it will change us and make us something different. And it makes us different because we're looking like Jesus Christ. So that's the power of the Word, and that's the transforming power of God's Word. Well, here we are once again in worship. We have the privilege to gather here and worship our God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord. I stand back sometimes. I like to stand back a lot of times and just observe people from time to time. In worship, in the assembly, and when we fellowship together. I also like to do that at airports, but it's a whole different crowd, okay? I do this many times when we assemble together to worship, when we gather together for Bible classes, and when we are just fellowshipping together, whether at a potluck or a work day or whatever. I like to stand back, and I like to look. I do this quite a lot during the Lord's Supper. I know I sit down front most of the time, but when I come up here, when I do the Lord's Supper, I like to turn around, or I like to look out. I like to turn around sometimes and see other people partaking of the Lord's Supper. And I like to think about what you are telling me when you sing, when we pray together, when we give of our means, as Tim mentioned this morning. When I do that, I begin to think about people that I see. What are they saying about themselves when they come to worship? What are they saying about themselves and telling others when they come to Bible class? What can I learn about people when I spend time with them in fellowship? At a work day, at a potluck, Bible camp, VBS, when we're working for a purpose. You know, when people come to worship God and assemble with their brethren in Christ, it says something about them and about their faith. This morning, I want to brag a little bit. Not on myself, but I want to brag on my brethren in whom I am very proud and I'm very thankful. I want to brag on some of you this morning. What you tell others when you come to, what you tell others about yourself when you come to Bible class and worship. Let me share some things that you tell others. What you say about yourself. Number one, you tell others that you practice your faith because we can see that manifested in your life. We can see that you are practicing your faith. In James chapter 2, 17 and 18, a great passage there that we use a lot of times. He says there, talking about faith and works is the discussion. He says, thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. And then he lays down a challenge. Show me your faith without your works and I will show you my faith by my works. You know what? A person can't show someone else their faith without works. They can't do it. And that's what James is getting at. I'll show you by my faith by my works. I'll show you by my faith by how I manifest it in my life. You'll see my faith. And when people come to worship service and Bible class and other fellowships, that's what they're doing. They're showing others and they're telling others, I have faith in Jesus Christ. And I'm doing what he says. Also, in James chapter 1, verse 22 through 25, James says, starts out, but be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Oh, there's a lot of people who deceive themselves. Oh, I have faith, but I'm not doing anything. I'm not following the Lord's word, as our scripture reading said this morning. I'm not obeying his word, but I have faith in him. Well, so did the demons, and that was in James chapter 2 also. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. How many of you woke up this morning and looked in a mirror? Nobody? Raise your hand if you woke up this morning and looked in the mirror. This is interactive. I'm not going to stop until I cover it. Don, you didn't look in the mirror? Okay. Okay. There we go. Guys? Charlie? Alan? You okay? You look in the mirror? Okay. Yeah, look around. And I trust that all of you made some adjustments. I won't ask who didn't make adjustments. Some of you need to spit a little bit longer. I'm just kidding. That's what the word continues in it means. We look into the perfect law of liberty and continue in it. We look in it. We make adjustments. We're renewing our minds into the image of Jesus Christ. That's what that means. When you come to assemble with the saints at worship service, Bible class, and fellowship, they know, these people, they know that you love the Lord and take practicing his word seriously. So number one, what you tell others about yourself when you come to worship service, when you're here, Bible class, and fellowships, that you love the Lord and you practice what hopefully you're preaching. At least you're practicing what he preached. Number two, others noticed that you were not forsaking the assembly of the saints as some were accustomed to doing, and therefore you show others that you hold the blood of the covenant shed for your sins as sacred in your life. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 and 20 through 29. If you have your Bibles, open it there. I want you to think about this. The blood that was shed for you on the cross, you count it as sacred when you come on Sunday mornings to assemble together, like Tim mentioned this morning, to partake of the Lord's Supper. That is sacred to you because you know what it means to you. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. And as Don mentioned in class, these Hebrew Christians were starting to slide back into Judaism, leaving Christianity. And we can take it today as people sliding back into the world of sin that they left. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in faithful assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled with from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law died without mercy on testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? Whoa, that's a rhetorical question. The answer to that is, it's going to be much worse for people not to assemble together under the new covenant and worship God and partake of the Lord's Supper together. Counting the blood that covenant seal, the new covenant blood, as something sacred. Those people who come on Sunday morning, every Sunday morning, and worship God and partake of the Lord's Supper, they are those who are drawing near to God in full assurance of faith. They are those who are holding fast the confession of your hope without wavering. They are those who are stirring others up to love and good works. They are those who are not forsaking the assembling together. You tell others that worship and fellowship mean a great deal to you. And that is why you come on Sunday morning and Wednesday night also. No matter how tired you may be, no matter what time you have to be at work the next day, no matter what other pressing things you have to do, you are not going to miss. Why? Because you count the blood of the covenant as sacred. You tell others that you are going to try with every fiber of your being to be there for your brethren and for the Lord. That's what you tell others when you're faithful in attendance. Number three, another thing you tell others about yourself when you come to worship and other assemblies of the saint is that you want to make the job of the elders easier. The shepherd's job, part of the shepherd's job, is to make certain that the flock is being fed, the right spiritual food and that they are partaking of it regularly and often. That's part of our job. By being here on Sundays and Wednesdays for worship and Bible class, you have made their job easier because they know they're providing a feast for you. They're making sure it's available for you by having a Bible class teacher, by having a preacher, that you're going to be fed spiritually. And so you count that as important. And you make their job easier. You see, if you miss regularly, that causes the elders to have great concern over your soul. They must give an account for your soul. And as long as you are coming regularly and often to be fed spiritually and built up in the faith, they don't have to worry about you. They know you're going to be stronger each time you are fed in the word of the Lord. You are obeying God's word. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17. If you'd like to turn a couple pages over, you're still open there. Verse 17. Hebrews 13, 17. I think I have it right here. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. In other words, that's not going to be good. If you're not in regular attendance and you're not being fed and the elders have to come out, the shepherds have to come out and tend to you, find out where you are, why you're not there, what's the problem? It's not going to be profitable for you if you could have been there and you're not. You made their jobs harder. We have to realize that the elders are going to give an account for us on the day of judgment. I'm going to give an account for every person in this flock. So is Don. So is Rod. It's an awesome responsibility. But we desired the work, and that's what we've chosen to do. And we love you, and we want to make sure you're going to make it to heaven. We're going to do everything in our power for you to go to heaven. And it's not very pleasant sometimes. We have to have courage to talk to people sometimes about things that people don't want to talk about sometimes. They'd just rather forget. And it's embarrassing sometimes when an elder has to come and talk to you about your attendance. Or about other things in your life. It can be embarrassing for someone, but they shouldn't be feeling embarrassed. They should be feeling loved. Because they cared enough about you to come out and talk to you about that. But you see, if you're regularly in attendance, and you're being fed the word of God, and the elders, the shepherds, see growth in you, and you're growing, you make it a lot easier on them. And there's going to be a great blessing in heaven someday for you, on top of what you are already getting in this life by being here at the assembling of the saints and being fed. Number four, when you come to worship assemblies and Bible class times, you're telling others that you believe that the Lord will be there with us. And you do not want to miss out on being in the presence of the Lord. I think we forget that sometimes. Yeah, who's going to be there? Oh, the same old people are going to be there. Yeah, same old Lord, same old Spirit. They're going to be there. I think of Matthew 18 and 20 when Jesus said, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I will be there in the midst of them." By being here, you express how important it is to you to be present when the Lord and the Spirit of God are present. That's something to brag about. I love it when people show up. Because they know the Lord's going to be here. The Spirit's going to be here. I think of some of the apostles of Jesus when I think of missing out on the assembling with the Lord and his people. The name that I think of is Thomas. But he is better known as Doubting Thomas. Because he was not present the first time the disciples came together on the first day of the week after Jesus' resurrection. He was not present. He knew he had, and I don't know what he was doing. I suppose he was a fisherman. He might have gone back to fishing. Well, that's the end of Jesus. I'm going fishing. But he missed. And he knew he had missed out. He had to wait because they told him, "Hey, Thomas, man, you should have been there this morning with us. Jesus was there." Can you imagine what Thomas is thinking? Get out of here. He wasn't there. He was there. We saw the nail marks in his hands and his feet. You missed it. And so guess what he had to do? He had to wait a whole week before they assembled together again. Don't you know that was a long week for Thomas? The next Sunday when all were assembled together, he was there. He showed up. Then when he did see Jesus, what did he do? He expressed doubt that it was really him. Ergo, doubting Thomas. And so what Jesus said, come put your fingers here. Put your fingers in the side here. Put your hand in there. Thomas became a believer. When you come on Sunday and Wednesday nights and through the Bible classes, you tell others that you know the Lord is going to be present and wants you to be there. And so you are there. That's what you're telling the Lord. And you're telling others that too. What a great thing to proclaim to others. Your faith. Faith in action. Number five. When others see you at the assembly of the saints together, you tell others that you find more pleasure in being with the Lord and his people than you do with being with people in the world. That's what you're telling others when you're here. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 14 through 7 and 1, this passage, Paul is talking about being unequally yoked with unbelievers. And we used to look at this passage with regards to marriage. But consider this, if you will. If we prefer to be with people of the world rather than people of God during times of Bible class and worship, are we not choosing to be to be yoked with non-believers rather than believers? Is that what we're doing? Are we not doing that? We're choosing unbelievers over believers when we're fully capable of assembling together, but we choose not to. I'm going to stay home. When people make it their practice to worship with the saints, every time the saints are assembled for Bible class and worship, they make a conscious effort to be with God's people. They choose them over people in the world. That's what they're doing. When I see people who are here at every assembly, I know that they have chosen to be here with me, with us, rather than anyone else. They chose me. Because they knew I'd be here. They want to be with me. And for those who are regularly here, I get ready. I eat my dinner. I get up on time, maybe a little ahead of time. Look in the mirror, make all the adjustments necessary. Maybe I need to get up a little earlier on that one. But anyway, and I come down here because I know I'm going to see you here. And I'd rather be here than any other place right now. Because the Lord's here with me. I don't know where he is, floating around, sitting on that pew there. I don't know. But I know he's here. I can't see him, but I know he's here by faith. And I know you're here because I can see you. And you don't know what that does to me. That builds me up so much. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you for loving me because it's not easy to love me. I'm proud of you, and I thank God for you. It means a lot to me, and I know I can count on you to build me up when I need to be built up, when I'm flying low, and I really don't want to be here. My mind's elsewhere. I got other problems. I got other things on my mind, and then I walk through here, and those other things seem to be lifted right off, and I'm always glad to be here with you. Men's night, same way. Those of you who go to men's night with me, same way. You know, when we all ride different places together all over the valley, and when they get in the truck, I'm not very talkative. I don't talk a lot, but as we talk and as we fellowship, by the time we get home, I feel good. Why? Because I was with my brothers, and we worship God together. I love seeing them. Number six, when you come to worship service and Bible class on Sunday and Wednesday, I can see that you are setting a good example for others to follow. You know, people always are watching others. I watch you. I watch you all the time. not in a creepy kind of way. I watch you all the time. You tell me a lot when you come and worship together. You tell me all these things. When you assemble with the saints every time we assemble, you set an example for others to follow. You stir up others to do good works. These are the kinds of things the Lord would have us to do. When I'm not feeling good and then I see some of our elderly members strolling in, I know their bones are creaking more than mine. I know it's harder for them to get out of bed harder than me. I know that they have a lot of things on their mind too, and they're here. And it builds me up, stirs me up. Others are basically following us, and they follow as we follow Christ when they look at us. They're looking to us for an example, just as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:1, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. You not only show concern for your soul by being here to worship and to learn more about God's word, you also show concern for others. You're concerned about the people next to you. And you're concerned about your family by bringing your family with you when you come to the assembly of the saints. All of them. You care about your family. You know how important this is. You know their life is going to be better. So you make an effort to bring your family with you. You set an example for others to follow in remaining steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58, always abounding. And then finally, number 7, by being here assembling with the saints whenever they meet, you are purposefully choosing to walk in the light as he is in the light. 1 John 1:7. Obeying the word of God is walking in the light. The word of God tells us we need to assemble together. The word of God tells us we need to follow the leadership of the elders as they lead the flock in all these good things. We need to do that. And that's obeying the word of God. Remember the scripture Rod read? Verse 14, if you love me, keep my commandments. Verse 24 turns around. Jesus says in the same passage, those who do not love me do not keep my commandments. So, when we make it to all the assembling of the saints together, Bible class, worship, we are purposefully choosing to walk in the light. In choosing to do so, you have fellowship with the Lord and have continual cleansing of your sins through the blood of Jesus. Many people choose to do other things than worship God. But you chose and are choosing to worship with his people and draw near to God through Jesus Christ. The Lord is here, and by being here to assemble, learning more about him and how to live pleasing to God, you are choosing to be in the presence of the Lord. Because where is the Lord? He's right here with us. Man, that's great. Look at it this way. By being here when the saints are assembled together for worship, you choose to do what the Lord himself chose to do, and that's to be with his brethren. Isn't that a beautiful thought? The Lord chooses to be here with us. Can you imagine that? So what about everyone else? We can tell these things from people who choose to attend the assembling of saints for worship and Bible study. Just being here implies all of these things about them. But what about the people who choose to willfully miss the assemblies? That's a very important word there. Willfully choose to miss. One thing is for sure, a person cannot reach the same conclusions about a person who is not here willfully missing. You can't make the same conclusions. Now, there are some valid reasons for why people miss Assembly of the Saints for worship and Bible study. There's always illness. Some people don't need to be here among everybody else because they're sick, and they can't because they're sick. God understands that. We understand that. And then there's emergencies. There's accidents. There's things that happen along the way. Providing care to those who cannot care for themselves. You're the only one that can give them that care. God understands all of that. And there's many other reasons. But if these things seem to always happen at the same time as worship services, and Bible classes, then there's something really amiss in one's life. Mary and I knew this lady years and years ago in another congregation. And this is going to stomp on some feet right here. She could do everything she wanted to do during the week. Man, she was shopping, you know, going to the outlet stores, everything. She'd go to Disneyland. She was one of those nice people who loved to go to Disneyland all the time. And she'd go all the time, you know, with her family on Saturday. But then on Sunday, man, she was just so sick. She couldn't hardly get out of bed. Funny thing is, it only lasted on Sunday. Monday, she was right back in the car, shopping and doing her thing, going to Magic Mountain because she went to Disneyland last week. This was in Southern California. Sunday? So, people like that. Something's amiss in her spiritual life. You know, when I was teaching school, I'd have kids that come in, and when their period, they would always ask me, "Can I go to the restroom, Mr. Holland?" And they'd be gone 15, 20 minutes. And I let that happen one or two times, maybe three. And then I'd take them outside and I'd say, "Listen, I see a habit forming here. You seem to always have to go to the bathroom during my class." And I said, "They have a break so you can go to the bathroom." You know, we'd talk about that and everything. And I said, "Now, if this continues, there's a problem. And I'm going to have to call home to your parents. And or send you to the nurse, because something's wrong. Because when you do this every single day, you're not going to be in my class to learn anything." That same principle applies to the Lord's worship and Bible class. If something comes up all the time and you just can't ever make it, then something's amiss. You need to look at your life, because you're not going to be fed. You're not going to learn anything if you continually miss. I mean, it's not rocket science. If it were, I wouldn't have reached that conclusion. Okay? I would venture to say that many people who are not in the assembly make a conscious decision not to assemble together with the saints when they could do so with a little bit of effort. And here's the big one: the desire to do so. The desire to worship. What do they tell others about themselves and their love for the Lord and the things of the Lord when they willfully miss? What are they saying about their own faith, about how they feel about the Lord? I'm going to ask a couple of questions now. Is the worship of the Lord worthy of our best effort? I mean our best effort, not some half-hearted. Is the assembling together to study the Bible in class, Bible class, worthy of our best effort? I am so proud of the people that come on our ladies' Bible class and our hermeneutics class. I'm telling you what, I'm at a high point on Tuesdays in my spiritual walk with God, because I know those days are coming up, and I know, that we are going to have a great study. I have studied with a few more people in this auditorium today, private study. And I look forward to that, because we talk together, we reason from the scriptures, and they come. Why are they coming? Because they're telling me they're interested in the Lord. They love the Lord. They want to learn more about the Lord and how the Lord can help them, their lives to be better. I'm so excited. I have the best job in the world. I want you to know that. Somebody always said, teaching is the most important job in the world. No, it's not. Teaching school? No, it's not. This is the most important job, and this is the best job in the world. Look who I get to associate with every day of my life. You're not going to find this any other job. You're not. Because you are the best people in the world. And those who assemble together on a regular basis and never miss, they're the ones that are lifting me up and keeping me going. Maybe it's just a matter of getting up a little earlier on Sunday mornings. Maybe that's all you need to do. Some people stroll in late. That's not your best effort. I wonder what the Lord's thinking when we stroll in late. Could have made a little bit more effort there. May go to bed early, get up early, get cleaned up, show how important I am to you. Maybe it's just a matter of getting up a little bit early. Is the Lord worth it? Maybe it's a matter of rearranging our schedules a little bit to make sure we are present when the saints worship the Lord and study His Word. Just rearranging your schedule a little bit so you can be there. Isn't the Lord worth it? He thought you were worth it. He thought I was worth it. Maybe it's a matter of letting our friends and family know that we will be late to their event because we have something more important to do at that time. What's it going to hurt? What are you going to miss with your family in an hour? That's so important, more important than Jesus. Man, I can't think of anything in my family that would be more important than worshiping with Jesus and you. I can't think of it. Just little changes. Make your best effort for the Lord. People tell others a great deal about their commitment and their faithfulness to the Lord when they come to the worship assemblies and Bible classes. A great deal. Their attendance speaks volumes about their love for Jesus and God. Their attendance says volumes about how serious they are about pleasing God. Their attendance speaks volumes about how much they really care about their brethren. Even their own family. Their attendance speaks volumes about their desire to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven. I don't want to miss a thing. When you come to all the assembly of the saints for worship, when we come to Bible classes on Wednesday and Sunday before worship, you tell others, I love the Lord and I will keep His commandments. So in conclusion, worship to God is a special privilege given to those who are God's people. It is a glimpse of what our heavenly home will be like. I like what Tim said this morning. We worship together. We have a heavenly home to go to. One of my favorite scriptures, and since I'm right there, I'm going to read it. Hebrews 11, verse 13. These all died in faith. In fact, if I die, somebody remember to read this at my funeral, my memorial service. Because this is it. This is it. These all died in faith, not having received, Hebrews 11, 13, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. This is not my home. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. That scripture was written to me. It was written to you. That's where I want to go. And when it's just a glimpse of what our home life is, our homeland is going to be like when we get to heaven with our brothers and sisters. This is it. Preparing us for eternity in heaven. Well, I don't like worship. It's boring. You're not going to like heaven then. Maybe the other places suit you better. I don't think so. It's not going to be any better than heaven. There's nothing better than heaven. If you are here today, we are glad you're here. We hope you will come back and be with us again soon because we take our faith seriously. And we want to share it with you. And I would like to share the gospel plan of salvation with you. It's really very simple. Man has made it difficult, but Jesus said, if you believe that I am He, that's what we have to do. The first step is belief, faith in Jesus Christ. We have to hear the gospel. That comes Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And then we have to believe it. Then we have to repent of our sins, turn and follow after Jesus. Luke 13, 3 and 5. We have to confess that Jesus is the Son of God. We don't have to. We get to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, shed his blood for me on the cross. And then with that, we can be baptized into Christ, fully immersed in water, following the imitation of our Savior, his death, burial, and resurrection. We follow Jesus, death, burial, resurrection, in a watery grave of baptism, to walk in newness of life, to live faithful to him from that day forward, to obey his commandments so we can go to heaven, because he's prepared a city for me, and I don't want to miss it. And I don't want you to miss it. If you'd like to learn more, we would be more than happy to share with you more. If you are a member of the body of Christ, we're glad you're here today as well. We hope that everyone will make a special effort to assemble every time we meet together. Because you know what? Jesus is worth it. God is worth it. If you've been unfaithful to the Lord, we once again extend the invitation for you to come home before it's too late. You don't want to miss heaven. I don't want you to miss heaven. Nobody wants to miss heaven. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, please come right now while we stand and sing.